My name is Matthew Vinnie Harrington. Next up on WGXC is All Together Now, a local show of information, news, weather, interviews, reports, email info at WGXC.org to get involved with your creative community radio station.
Well done, Matthew.
I'm Jesse DeGroot, the marketing representative for the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that the Department of Environmental Conservation Police are asking for public help identifying the vehicle and subjects involved in a deer poaching incident in Lexington in Greene County on November 22nd. A DEC statement said, and I quote, "Fortunately, no one was home at the time of the shooting, but the poaching incident was captured on a doorbell camera," end quote. Shooting off firearms within 500 feet of a dwelling or other occupied structure unless permission is received from the owner is generally against the law, and the DEC is investigating the incident. Deer hunting season began recently locally. Anyone with information about the Lexington incident should contact Officer Lucas Palmatier at 518-478-1698 or Officer Jason Smith at 518-703-3529 or call the DEC's 24-hour dispatch line at 518-408-5852. And you can read the full story in Porcupine Soup. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that the Village of Athens gets $75,000 for a local waterfront revitalization program update, and the town of Prattsville receives $67,500 for its Smart Grow comprehensive plan from Regional Economic Development Council initiative funds. Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado, chair of the Regional Economic Development Council, said, and I quote, "This is how we build a more equitable future across our state, by investing in our communities and funding crucial economic development programs. We can ensure more New Yorkers have access to the opportunities, tools, and resources they need to succeed." End quote. And you can read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Lana Bellamy reports for the Times Union that New York is putting speed enforcement cameras in construction work zones that can automatically fine vehicle owners for exceeding speed limits. The State Department of Transportation and State Thruway Authority will start issuing automatic speeding tickets in 13 work zones throughout Warren, Orange, Queens, Nassau, Suffolk, and Jefferson counties, according to information posted on ny.gov. The automatic fines begin November 20th. Drivers getting automatic tickets will pay $50 for the first-time violation. The second violation within an 18-month period is $75, and three or more violations within an 18-month period cost $100. Computers identify license plate information in photos to generate the tickets, and, according to the DOT, a state-certified technician will review the violations before a notice of liability is mailed out. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And a nice weekend.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Maybe there's just no relationship between the president's popularity and down-ballot voting, that voters vote on very different things. And maybe because we have a president-centric kind of culture, we just get that wrong all the time.
Elaine Kamar with the Brookings Institute says recent polls do show President Biden trailing former President Donald Trump in 5 of 6 crucial battleground states, compounded with Biden's poor approval rating. That could mean trouble for his party. But Kamar says Biden's unpopularity does not actually do a good job of predicting Democratic votes. The Biden campaign argues his support will strengthen once voters actually compare him to the ex-president. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis calls Trump the Democrats' best turnout machine. Republican voting starts with the Iowa caucuses, less than 2 months away. Trump is still dominating those polls, with former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley and DeSantis fighting for second. Haley is marking Black Friday by talking about small companies.
When I got to the State House, I really worked hard for small businesses, because small businesses are the heartbeat of our economy.
Military veterans in elected office say climate change is a national security issue, and they want Inflation Reduction Act funds invested in the clean energy economy. President and co-founder of Veterans Group Elected Officials to Protect America, Alex Cornell, the WHO, calls the climate crisis a threat multiplier, driving instability abroad and disasters here.
We can get to 40 to 43% reduction in carbon pollution by 2030 with the Inflation Reduction Act, as long as we implement it well. And the next 10% or so can be done through rulemaking, so ensuring clean car standards and EPA standards.
Keeping animals off the highways is in Washington's headlights, with a Senate hearing last week and an expanded Interior Department order on wildlife corridors. Madeline West with Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership says providing the animals with a safe way to avoid traffic is now actually the top issue for hunting and fishing organizations.
Abundant wildlife populations of big game species and small game species, even like waterfowl, are important to the TRCP and our partners and the 14 million hunters in this country.
Some Nevada community leaders want the Biden administration to reconsider a proposed nationwide Food and Drug Administration ban on menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars. Quentin Savoie with the organization Run for Something thinks the ban could prompt more people of color having negative encounters with the police.
While I can understand and appreciate the science of why this is perceived to be a good thing, it's exceptionally short-sighted to think that banning menthol will automatically curb the addiction of those that use menthol cigarettes to cope with stress, manage their workload, or simply get through the day.
Public health experts say banning the smoking products will prevent thousands of deaths each year. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. With 70% of the vote in 2018, Ohio voters passed a constitutional amendment prohibiting partisan gerrymandering. The state's redistricting commission and legislature ignored it and gerrymandered the voting district maps anyway. Citizens are now trying to fix what the politicians won't. WOSU reports that democracy groups are preparing a 2024 citizen ballot initiative to overhaul Ohio's redistricting commission. The current 7-member commission is composed of the governor, state auditor, secretary of state, and members appointed by the Senate and House majority and minority leaders, all politicians. The commission produced 4 sets of maps, all rejected by the Ohio Supreme Court as partisan gerrymanders. Mapmaking then reverted to the Ohio General Assembly, which also failed to produce fair maps. The 2024 constitutional amendment is entitled An Amendment to Replace the Current Politician-Run Redistricting Process with a Citizen-Led Commission Required to Create Fair State Legislative and Congressional Districts Through a More Open and Independent System. The details of the proposal aren't yet available, but in addition to its partisan nature, experts say the current system failed because of the lack of an enforcement mechanism and no clear direction on whose maps were the final authority. We have resources on how other citizen-run state redistricting commissions work at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting a mostly sunny Friday afternoon with a temperature high near 40 degrees and a northwest wind at around 11 miles per hour. Tonight it will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 23 degrees and a northwest wind at 8 to 10 miles per hour. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 39 degrees and a northwest wind at around 5 miles per hour becoming south in the afternoon. On Saturday night, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 23 degrees and a light south wind. And on Sunday, there will be a chance of rain after 1 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 42 degrees. And on Sunday night, there will be rain with a temperature low of around 34 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXE. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Meredith Coy of Atlanta, Georgia. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXE sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXE.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Drug addiction took away my family, my friends, my job, my freedom. I even lost my ability to function like a normal human being. I found hope in Narcotics Anonymous. That hope is available to anyone suffering from the horrors of addiction. For more information about Narcotics Anonymous or to find a meeting near you, call 845-431-9011 or visit na.org.
Every Thanksgiving, our friends and family at WGXC like to spend the holiday together with some audio traditions. At midnight each year, we tune into William Burroughs' Thanksgiving Prayer, and then tune in the WGXC Morning Show on Thanksgiving Day for some other holiday audio traditions, like an excerpt from WKRP's Turkey Drop. We'll hear Dan Seward from the Battlefield Earth Show and his annual turkey story, as well as Rush Limbaugh's The True Story of Thanksgiving. And of course, we'll hear Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant, and at 10 a.m. we'll have a special interview with Ron Pahalski interviewing Alice Brock from Western Massachusetts, the Alice from Alice's Restaurant, on the radio at WGXC. Cella Graham will be live in the Hudson studio on Thanksgiving Day for the WGXC afternoon show from 4 to 6 p.m. And at 6 p.m. All Together Now will feature several stories about local food banks, free fridges, and other ways you can donate to help the hunger situation in the Hudson Valley. So tune in the radio Thanksgiving Day to WGXC 90.7 FM, your creative solar-powered community radio station.
And I'm here in the studio with my very special guest today here on Ginger Radio Hour, Kula Badila. Hi, Kula.
Hello. It's great to be here.
It's been so long. I feel like I first reached out to you in August.
Right.
And we've been trying to figure this out ever since. Mm-hmm. And now here it is.
And here we are.
Divine. It's so nice to have you here. Let me turn this down just a touch. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to get my tea.
Yes.
So, Kula. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, there are so many different ways to describe all of the things that you are.
Oh, thank you.
And so I don't, and I wanted to say that One of the reasons I really wanted to speak to you is I spotted your seeds. Like, it seems to me that you've left these seeds across Hudson and across this area in many, many different ways through Grow Black Hudson, which, of course, you're the founder of, but also through your music and your dance and your jewelry. What else am I forgetting? Anyway, the seeds are everywhere. Yeah. And so I'm so pleased to have you here. And maybe we could begin. If you could describe to our audience your front porch, the plant porch, and what that's all about.
Yeah, so the plant porch is, we try to make it like a very safe space and a representation of like community being able to, go to your neighbor for something that you might need. And in this case, it holds a lot of plant seedlings that we get donations from, you know, all throughout the spring and summer for different people who want to come and learn how to grow. So, you know, we'll have plants, we'll have seeds, water, soil, anything that's really donated, actually. Like, we'll just put it on the porch and be like, yo, this is here. And there's a really great trust system where people, they come and they take what they need. And, and then we're able to continue that relationship of building as a community, like, firsthand, in person.
So which came first, the porch or Grow Black Hudson?
The porch has probably always been there. You know, my family has been in Hudson since 97, and we've, come from a background of always working with community in some way. And as it started, it was through music and dance. My parents came with Diata Diata, which is a traditional, like, folkloric storytelling, dancing, drumming, music, all of this. And, tried to build that here in Hudson, and have built that here in Hudson. Community theater all throughout since 2008, I believe, or no, 98. And, just having, like, free experiences for community to come together and learn these arts, and especially as Black community, like, a lot of these roots that we're often, like, separated from, we wanted to bring that knowledge and awareness and pride and confidence, and like, we come from a rich culture as well. So, you know, it was like a desert in that kind of way of acknowledging our ancestry in Hudson. So I feel like my parents really built that to like build with community. And then from there, we've just established these relationships where people now that are like in politics or, you know, doing all these other things in Hudson, like they started as, you know, little 7-year-olds playing like a tree in a play or something, you know. So it's really awesome to see how that big seed planted has continued to help me be able to have, you know, a home, you know, all through these years. Also, my family would like house people or have our rehearsals in our home. Like, it's always just been a place that's been kind of this safe home that people can come to if they ever need anything, really, you know, big mama house.
So this is what it sounds like you grew Grow Black Hudson out of, this foundation.
Yes.
That was the seedlings for Grow Black Hudson. So can you talk a little bit about what you do for that?
So Grow Black Hudson has been, a very, very heartfelt seed that came from a need to really, like, think about our health and how we're living and how we can come back into our independence and that relationship with the earth and with nature. And it was also inspired by, like, the need to heal, especially during that pandemic starting and a lot of riots of just highlighting Black voices, you know, and needs. So it came to that space of, like, you know, being able to do more, you know, because a lot of people, like, it's easy to talk about the things or see the problems or point them out and protest, but then, you know, just, like, seeing, like, what action can I actually take, you know? Like, there's already these seeds planted where my family, you know, my siblings have been doing amazing things, you know, and have built with community in all these ways. And I grew up doing, volunteering on different farms, like Germantown Farm, awesome. You know, I know a lot of people from there were supporting WGC as they got started. So, you know, it's just a lot of connections with community that's always been happening. And that knowledge of working on the land, working on farms, like feeling that healing and that fun and that exchange that would happen. And then continuing, like, went to a Waldorf school that had a farm across the street, Hawthorn Valley, that also inspired just, like, working with the land in that way. And, you know, just wanting to bring that in when a lot of the healing was coming up of, like, what we need to heal as a people and as a society. And just, like, that stood out the most for me is, like, when I was able to be in my backyard with my siblings that were able to come home because – you know, things getting shut down, some of them were able to come, and we were able to build a garden in our backyard, and just to reconnect in that way and be together, and everything that we learned and felt, like, it just gave so much, like, peace of mind and hope and faith in the way that life continues to grow. You know, like, it has its cycles, but you can bring it back in, you know, and you can learn so much from that growing cycle. So that inspired me when the pandemic hit, you know, and talking to my sister Gonda, she founded Black Hudson, which is something that continues to this day in Hudson, that just brings a network for Black community to, like, exchange, you know, for, like, markets or different things that they're doing to just help put each other on for being aware of these things that are happening so they can have access to it. And, you know, she inspired me to, like, to bring it out more in that way as well, to, like, reach out and be like, oh, yeah, like, there's this network. Let's see these people that we've been with for all this time. See who wants to grow. See who wants to plant and, like, actually learn this. And so many people were down, like, immediately, you know, and that felt like a real, like, start to a solution for the healing that was needed. And, you know, like, our family, because of that foundation, that safe house we built, it was very easy to, like, be able to be welcomed into other people's homes where they trusted the information and the exchange and the energy and just the conversations, you know, that we were able to talk about to, like, uplift ourselves and connect with this earth and with how to grow our own food and with how to plant those seeds for ourselves in any way that we wanted to. Yeah, I don't know if that answered the question.
It does. I mean, one of the things that I found really inspiring by following your Instagram and what you're doing on Facebook with Grow Black Hudson is, so we talked about your plant porch and how there are all these things there available for people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very clear, like, you just go directly to people.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when we think of community, when I think of community, I often think of community spaces,
mm-hmm.
like the library, a park, places where I go to see people.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just going to see people. In other words, like, yes, you're creating a community and a spot on your porch, but mm-hmm. you're also directly bringing food.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you bring you making the lemon ginger turmeric shots and bring them out to people.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because you are, what you're doing is outreach, mm-hmm. but it's more than that. You're just going to people. You're talking to people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very important to me to come through as honest as I can, you know, with how I move. And yeah, like, from the start of building Grow Black Hudson and just the work that we've done as a community, like, it always felt the best when I'm able to build a relationship with the people that I'm talking to and working with, and already having these relationships too, like, you know, that helps to support keeping that honesty, you know, in the work that's happening. And so for me, and even though, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, Grow Black Hudson can be so big, like, you can build this and, like, make it, you know, official and, you know, quote unquote, whatever. And, you know, it just remained important for me to, like, keep it organic, keep it natural, keep it honest with where I can move and how I can move and also where other people are at, you know. And, you know, still planning the thing, still making, you know, like, if there's going to be an event for something, like, still letting that happen. But also being okay to just, like, try to call someone up and be like, oh, hey, are you home? And, like, word, let me come through. And then, you know, we can hang out, catch up for a half hour and just talk about life, you know, and that is also the healing, you know, and I think that is more impactful and stronger when it's not just like, oh, I'm just handing you out these things or just giving you these things because, like, you know, it's mutual aid, it's connecting, but, like, let me actually talk to you, let me actually see who you are and, like, get to see who's in my community, see what your needs are, you know, and that is felt, you know. I know that the people feel that, and to be really seen and not just, like, you know, aided, like, but to actually, like, see that you can grow a relationship that's deeper than just, like, receiving or giving to someone, but, like, you know, making friends, you know. So yeah, you know, that's the way it moves. It's I show up, you know, I reach out and people come through, you know, and it just keeps going naturally in that exchange.
So do you have friends, volunteers? Like, how, you can't do all this yourself, so, maybe you do, but, like, how do you get that help? Or when you go into somebody's home and you realize that, They need more than a lemon ginger turmeric shot. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just need companionship more than just when you visit, or maybe they need help getting somewhere or whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you reach out? What do you like? What signals do you send out to try to get help?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, if it is like more than something that I can offer, then it's usually just like putting them in touch with all these awesome things that are happening in the community. Like, yo, like this big talk is happening at the library. That's like, you know, talking about entrepreneurship, and you know, like this is a place you can go to and also meet other people that are maybe feeling similar things, or, you know, if it's outside of something that I can offer with my own time and energy and, you know, offerings. And as far as like volunteer help and things like that. So the way it's been working, like, because it's a lot about some like people building in their own homes, like they will be not the volunteers, but like that'll be the help that is needed for building it. Mm-hmm. You know? It's a very intimate experience like that, where it hasn't necessarily gotten so big where it's needed like volunteers, but there are events that would happen where, you know, say I post up and there's like plants and soil and seedlings and stuff like that. Like, oh, like, yo, can you help me like teach these kids how to like write these labels for, you know, labeling the seed that they planted or something like that. Or in our first year of Grow Black Cutsoon, we partnered with the community garden, Kitesness Community Garden, and did a whole series of cooking workshops. So that was like also like, you know, a bigger thing where a lot of people who would come through and help like set up or carry different materials, or if they had some knowledge, you know, come through. I worked with Sweet Freedom Farm also, that brought some great energy and education behind like canning and stuff like that. So, you know, it's really just kind of like reaching out to the people that I know that have this, or just, you know, if we need more hands, like I feel like it's people are more than happy to actually come through because they're also benefiting from getting to meet their community. So, yeah, it works very naturally like that. Like, all right, what is it that is, what's going to happen? What do we want to do? And then see what's needed, or see if this is something that's like more of an intimate lesson that, like, you know, we can learn it right here at home.
And at the, especially in the spring and summer, mm-hmm. one of the most elemental things you're doing is you're going into people's yards, mm-hmm. Or into their homes and starting seeds, right? And yeah. Growing things.
Yeah, yeah. Starting seeds, planting seedlings, you know, the weeding, you know, all those parts that come with it too, or just like dealing with different pests. And then coming to the harvest, you know, and like seeing the different stages of everything, how it like reaches its peak, you know, because everything, which is my favorite part about it, is that like everything has its season, and just also reconnecting to that energy of like, eating certain things at certain times, because I do believe that certain or whatever, the fruits, the vegetables, they all grow with different medicine for that season. You know, I'm just thinking of now, like the pumpkins and the kale and the broccoli, like those harder greens that have lasted. Like a lot of that is great for these soups, and you know, just like high iron nutrients that can just help us boost up for this winter. So, and then like, you know, in the spring it's strawberries and something that's sweet and lighter, but like also has a lot of antioxidants and vitamins like that. So, you know, it's awesome to also like go through that with everyone and see like, yeah, this is the season for this and this is the season for that. And also respecting that nature has its cycles like that, you know, like it's very easy for us to just go to a grocery store and be disconnected because, you know, we want to get strawberries in the winter, you know, but to just be able to know that the land has its time too, I think is a good lesson for us to see. And, you know, just working through the gardens, like seeing how people are also seeing how life grows, you know, and then, you know, putting things to rest in the end. And that's another just lesson for us to go a little more inward and giving ourselves space for rest and slowing down to reflect and kind of build up for the next season.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Almost a hibernation, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the your most delicious thing that you grew this year?
The most delicious,
or your favorite vegetable to grow?
Well, I grew some lemon cucumbers, which were,
I don't even know what that is.
A lemon cucumber, it's like, you know, it was probably cross, you know, made in some kind of way, but it's like a
90.7 FM.
Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, November the 24th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. A recent poll finds 83% of U.S. consumers prefer American-made goods in hopes of boosting the economy, creating jobs, and supporting small businesses. Our Farah Siddiqui reports.
A recent poll by Morning Consult in coordination with Alliance for American Manufacturing finds 83% of American consumers prefer to buy American-made products. Awanate Kabina heads up American manufacturing company Shinola and Bedrock and says it's important to promote our national economy by boosting jobs and local businesses.
We started a watch factory in Detroit 10 years ago because this city knows how to make things. Manufacturing in the U.S. is at the core of who we are. No one said this journey is an easy one, but we believe it is the only path to take.
The poll found 3 in 4 U.S. adults want companies penalized for falsely marketing their goods as made in the USA. In recent years, the Federal Trade Commission has increasingly pursued financial repercussions for fraudulent made-in-USA claims.
When shopping online, there is currently no law requiring a manufacturing label. The bill would require online retailers to identify the country of manufacturing for their products. And tomorrow is Small Business Saturday, an opportunity for small businesses to market their products and services out of the shadows of big box stores and franchises.
The most recent figures from 2021 show Indiana is home to almost 530,000 small businesses statewide, companies with fewer than 20 workers. Small Business Saturday prompts shoppers to support these businesses as they continue to recover from the pandemic. One Indiana business owner turned her burnout as a mental health caseworker into a career as a licensed massage and skin therapist. Lanita Woolrich says Lanita's day spa reflects her personality.
When I was trying to figure out what I wanted to go back to school for, massage therapy just came up, and I could promote wellness and just make people feel good. And by me becoming a massage therapist, I'm still helping people, but in a different capacity.
In Indiana, women own more than 42% of businesses, veterans own just over 7%, and Hispanics own almost 4%, according to the U.S. Small Business Administration. I'm Terry D. reporting.
Now from CNN, a truce between Israel and Hamas will begin at 7 a.m. local time. 13 women and children will be released, according to a spokesperson for Qatar's foreign ministry. An undisclosed number of Palestinian prisoners are set to be released after the hostages are freed from Gaza. CNN notes a truce was slated to begin on Thursday but was delayed under the Israel-Hamas deal. At least 50 hostages held in Gaza are to be freed. This is Public News Service. And states are dealing with the fallout from a Supreme Court decision in May that effectively removed federal protections from more than half of the wetlands across the country. We get this perspective from Arkansas.
James Brandenburg with Arkansas Backcountry Hunters and Anglers says the ruling will have an impact on wildlife since the natural state is known as the duck hunting capital of the world. Every winter, millions of ducks migrate from the prairie pothole region in the United States and Canada to Arkansas.
If protections are removed from those waters and they become degraded or developed or whatever, you know, it has a significant impact on a continent-wide resource. And the big play here in Arkansas then is it has an impact on duck hunting and goose hunting.
Brandenburg contends that the Clean Water Act was a response to severe water pollution caused by uncontrolled development and unregulated use. For Public News Service, I'm Danielle Smith.
And Montana high schools and colleges are working together to help build a pipeline of homegrown teaching talent for the state's K through 12 classrooms. Mark Moran has the details for us in a Working Nation Big Sky Connection collaboration.
For various reasons, not least of which is the pay, the teaching profession has lost some of its luster for college graduates exploring their career options. Becky Frisbee with Great Falls Public Schools says Montana is feeling the effect of that too.
And we've got to find new and creative ways to help students into that education field so that we can start getting students back into this pathway of becoming teachers.
So in cooperation with local colleges, Montana's Pathways to Teaching program allows high school students who study education to earn college credit so they can graduate sooner, save money on college, and decide if education is the right career choice for them.
Support for this story comes through the Lumina Foundation, and original reporting was done by Victoria Lim for Working Nation. Finally, we head to Mississippi, where a local organization is providing free books to incarcerated individuals to promote literacy and pave the way for prison reform. Miranda Vaughn with Big House Books says the Jackson-based nonprofit has been sending books to incarcerated individuals throughout the state since 2014.
Every person who writes to us gets three books, regardless of whether they ask for 20 or they ask for one. We just send them all three books.
Vaughn says it's Giving Tuesday. They're asking the public to donate more books to help them send 1,000 packages to incarcerated folks in Mississippi. This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for ending your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Steve Hughes reports for the Times Union that in Coeymans, the Carver Company have backed off of their proposal for an 80-acre wind turbine facility there, and developers now say they will not need the town to rezone a 364-acre wildlife management area. In southern Albany County, the wind turbine facility project would be just north of the Port of Coeymans between Route 144 and the Hudson River. Carver Companies now says they can keep the manufacturing portion of the project on land owned by Holcomb just north of the Port of Coeymans between Route 144 and the Hudson River that is already zoned for manufacturing. The developers hope to manufacture more than 200 wind turbine blades a year and create up to 600 jobs in Coeymans. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that there is at least one local election with results still pending. Currently in Wallkill in Ulster County, incumbent Republican George Serrano and Democrat Neil Meyer are tied in the town supervisor election. Both have 1,910. Next week, the Board of Elections will do a hand recount and say they will have the results by December 2nd. So either the incumbent Serrano or the town board member and former deputy supervisor of the town, Meyer, will become the next supervisor. And you can read more about this story in Mid-Hudson News. Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that in the election held this year in October and November, only between 20% and 30% of voters turned out to cast ballots. Backers of a proposal to move local elections to a year when turnout is naturally higher because of high-profile presidential and Senate votes are still getting pushback from many local leaders who want to maintain the status quo. Moving local elections to even-numbered years is one of more than 150 bills passed that are waiting for a signature from Governor Kathy Hochul to become law. New York Public Interest Research Group Executive Director Blair Horner said, and I quote, "In a democracy, a representative democracy, you want to have the biggest turnout possible. We think it's easier for voters to remember that they're supposed to go to the polling place, particularly when there's high-profile election," end quote. Stephen Aquario, executive director of the State Association of Counties, says most county leaders across the state are opposed to moving local elections, saying, and I quote, "I think we need to respect their choice, their decisions, and not change laws because people in the Capitol think that they have a better view of how to control their behavior. People are motivated by their own behavior, by what their own values are, what matters to them, for whether or not they'll go to a voting machine and cast a ballot," end quote. Elections for city or village elections and for races for county clerk, sheriff, district attorneys, local judges, and others protected in the state constitution to be held in odd number years would not be moved if Hochul signs the bill. Read more about this story in New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, November 23rd, Thanksgiving Day. Local early morning temperatures range from 33 degrees in Tannersville to 42 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 42 degrees. Today will be a pretty standard fall day. A cold morning turns just chilly this afternoon. Make sure to dress in layers, especially if you plan to be in and out all day long. We get a high of 48 at 3 p.m., which will be the best time of the day for a pre- or post-meal walk. Overnight, temperatures dip to 34 degrees. Then, tomorrow gets a bit windy, and we see a high of only 40 degrees at 11 a.m. Overnight, temperatures sink to 24 degrees. Then, Saturday will have a high of only 38. Sunday, rain returns to the area and we see a high of 42. And now for that final holiday tip. When that fateful moment comes, when that dreaded conversation breaks out, doesn't matter what your points of view are, this danger must be averted. So, your job is to jump up and say, "So, holy crap, UFOs are real, huh? What do you think is inside them things?" Regardless of what they are, we're all just normal little humans, and in that little way, we're all on the same side. Sunset today will be at 4:16 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:52 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are up to 10% because the sun is getting pretty active again. A recently snapped magnetic filament sent in Hadouken in our general direction could arrive on Saturday. Plasma winds will be average at 472 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 174, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hi, everybody. My name is Daniel Thomas Wachowski. Tune in to the local news for better weather, interviews with your friends and neighbors, and more on WGXC from 7 to 10 every morning. WGXC is here to start your day with democracy now at 8. Tune in weekdays to 90.7 FM to get your morning going.
All Together Now is a collaborative local news show. Anyone can learn how to be a reporter. Send a story idea to news at WGXC.org. Add an event to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. Or call and leave a three-minute opinion about some local matter at 518-291-9492. If you attend local public meetings, take out your phone and record them and send them to news at WGXC.org, and we'll share them with everyone else online and on the air. Please help your community by reporting on it on All Together Now. Yeah.
Let's speak together. WGXC believes in community. We are a hands-on participatory radio station and serve many communities. WGXC's volunteer programs range in age from 9 to 84 and come from all walks of life. What they produce is as varied as the communities we serve. WGXC is an unbiased source for local news and cultural affairs information. Programming made by and for youth airs daily, and our celebrated musical programming is unique, diverse, and eclectic.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Do you enjoy the arts? Have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members. And get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
We are set up and we have somebody who... He ain't been here in a minute.
In a minute, yeah.
He ain't been here in a minute. The one and only Vern Cross, Hudson High's varsity girls head coach. Tell him what's up. Let Hudson know who you are.
J-Mac.
Although they already know.
Yeah, yeah. J-Mac, I want to thank you first, right out the gate,
of
for
course.
Allowing me to come in here and talk to the city and everybody listening.
Of course.
Big shout out to Slap of Reality, man. J-Mac, you took this from a segment and you made it a show. And if you had the applause, I would give it to you. I'm going to do
know.
It myself.
Right I got, here. You know, I'm going to get there. Slowly but surely, I'm going to hype it up and upgrade the technology and figure myself out. But
you're definitely doing your thing.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you. Yes, I'm so glad he came in. You know, the season is about to start, right?
Yeah.
After Thanksgiving?
Yep, December 1st is our first game.
Yep. And who's that against?
Greenville. We're at Greenville on December 1st. And we're doing it a little different this year.
Okay.
This year, so you know how normally when we play Catskill, all the teams play Catskill?
Yep.
So this year, the boys and the girls are going to play at Greenville. So we get to open up for the boys four times this year.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty awesome. Big. Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty big for us.
Yeah, it's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
And by the time y'all play, everybody wants to go home.
Yeah. So, yeah
but that's awesome. That's real good. We were supposed to have some of the girls come in, but they do have a cold of some sort. So heal up, girls. I am hoping y'all feel better ASAP. I think my little girl has one, too, but... hoping a speedy recovery. Amaya, Gabby, Malia, shout out to y'all. I hope y'all have a great season and the rest of the girls and the rest of the teams. I hope it goes great. But Coach V, Vern Cross.
Yeah, talk to me.
I got a few questions for you.
Okay, talk to me. I'm ready.
In regard to, I don't know if you have any inside scoop on the season yet.
I have all the scoops.
Okay,
Every scoop you need, I have it.
What are the top three teams you feel will be your biggest challengers this year?
Before I even go to that, I got to give a big, big shout out to EJ Jones and Hank.
Yes.
Henry Hay. Those are my two assistant coaches. I would be nothing without them.
Yes.
They both have qualities that are outstanding and they can head coach anywhere. So working with them as a team, it just really helps us as a team be great. And when we're looking at teams right now, one team definitely that, is going to be really good is Coosockee Athens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have a girl coming back. Her name is Bailey. Bailey plays the circuit for Havoc. They got a girl named Riley is a tremendous athlete. They're going to be a tough team.
What grade are they?
I think Bailey is probably in the 10th grade, and I want to say Riley is a senior.
That's so surprising because I remember when I was playing Coosockee and Carroll, no offense, those were the two wins we could guarantee.
Yeah, not no more, man. Coosockee.
That's good. That's dope.
Last year, Coosockee played Catskill in the Patroon Conference Championship, and for the first quarter and a half, they hung out with them. And I mean, you had the GOAT on the team.
Yeah.
Janae was there and they hung out with her. And actually, Janae and Bailey are cousins. So,
oh, that's dope. Small world.
And J-Mac, you know the one thing about me? I have no problem giving respect where it's earned.
No, absolutely. And that's what I love, though. I love when it's competition. Like, it's not just, you know, oh, we know they about to, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's definitely a team that. Our staff is looking at toughly.
Yeah.
So tough that this year is one of the first years in a very long time that Hudson will be hosting a Christmas tournament.
Oh, that's lit.
Yeah. Big shout out to AD Briscoe. You know, he came to me last year and said, what do you think about it? We put it together. So
that's
we will have
lit.
A home Christmas
that's been,
tournament.
How long has it been?
Forever.
Yeah.
We didn't do it when I was
there.
Yeah,
so. And not when I was... Oh, my goodness. So,
again,
that's lit.
Again,
make
shout
sure
out to
you
Sean.
Send me the schedule when you get it.
Yeah, well, the schedule thing is broken right now.
I saw that. Yeah, I thought it was the internet, but I'm thinking, it must be the
right
site.
Now.
Okay.
But, yeah, we will, And again, shout out to A.D. Briscoe. He helped put this together. We put this together, and it'll be at home. We got some really good things. It's a two-day tournament.
That's lit.
But one of the things that we did, you know, we're picking teams. So in our conference, there's two sides.
Right.
One side you play twice, mm-hmm. and the other side you only play once.
Right.
Well, Kasaki is on the side that we only play once.
Got it.
So I asked Coach Briscoe, I said, can you invite them to the Christmas tournament? So at least we can play them twice, because if we're – in my mind, if we're going to have a chance to compete, we're going to have to be able to beat them. And
right.
I want to be able to. So
it'll benefit both of the teams, definitely.
Outside of Kasaki, then I want to go with Maple Hill. Maple Hill is always a strong team.
Yeah.
Can't forget Greenville.
Yes, Greenville, them too.
Yeah, yep. Greenville is tough. And then, of course, Hudson. I just think, like, you know, I got to believe in us. You
right,
know,
of and, course, absolutely.
I got to believe that we're returning five starters, you know, and I just think, like, we have a chance. It's up to the girls. And shout out to the girls and the work that they put in. But I really think that we have a chance to be right in that top four of the four teams that will be able to play for the conference championship.
And it's how many seniors are this year?
I have three seniors. I want to shout out. And my three seniors are Gabby, Amaya, and Sarah.
Shout out them.
Yeah, shout out them. Yep.
I know that when you're a senior, it hits different.
Yeah.
Basketball season, like, especially if that's your sport, but any sport, senior year, you're like, oh, I really got to turn up low-key because this might be the last time I get to play.
Yeah.
So I really am rooting for y'all, the whole team. I know that those three seniors will turn up because senior year, they got to turn, like, and they're multi-sport girls,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, each of them. I mean, Amaya, you know what? I have to say this, and you normally don't say this about a girl, but Amaya's a dog. Like, Amaya's a dog. J-Mac, you play basketball. You would want Amaya on your team. I mean, she's just – and the thing about Amaya that is really great about Amaya, she's an excellent student. Like, she's humble. She works hard. A lot of people say, well, Amaya can't go left. You're wrong. Amaya can go left. She's done a lot of work this summer. Her confidence is next level. She's a captain. She's a leader. And she just plays basketball. But, I mean, she's really good at it.
No, and when I was coaching back in 2021, and she was, I don't know what, was she a freshman then? She was a sophomore then.
Sophomore, yeah.
I could see it. She wanted it. I saw the drive. I saw how serious she took practice. And a lot of times, you don't always see that in girls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can tell when somebody's like, I'm serious, let's do this, whatever I got to do, and then you can tell when they're just playing to play.
No, it basketball is her life.
Yes.
And one thing also about Amaya is that Amaya has been asked probably her whole high school career to play a position that she's not comfortable at.
Mm-hmm.
Amaya doesn't want to play point guard, you know, because it's a lot of – she doesn't mind the pressure. It's just that her skill level and where she wants to be is it wasn't there, but she's done it, and she's done it without making complaints. And those are the kind of players that go on to the next level.
It is.
I'm very proud of her. I'm very proud of all the girls. But being able to coach these girls again, especially like Amaya. And I do have three seniors, but I have a freshman that is nationally ranked.
Yeah.
That's played the circuit that in eighth grade averaged 15 points, 15 rebounds.
Yeah.
She had 27 blocks in eighth grade. I'm talking about Malia Mitty Jackson.
Yes.
Also made first platoon all-star team. Like, I don't know how long she's going to stay in Hudson.
Right.
I don't know how long Hudson can provide what she needs. She's a next-level player. So I might have three seniors, but she's possibly a senior also because she could be gone next year.
You never know. Right.
So these are the conversations that we're having with the girls. And we run our system a little bit different. And J-Mac, they call me soft. You know, I'm okay with it. Yo, shout out to Slay. Shout out to Ray.
But see, I feel like that's a first coming from.
I know, right? Because you know how I give it up.
I know how you give it up.
But, you know, the one thing about it is that I wanted to come into this system and give these girls a voice.
Yep.
One of the things that happened, and you talked about it earlier, was when you were playing, your team was better than the boys' team.
Yeah.
But didn't get the recognition. And I wanted the girls to just have that voice.
Yes.
I wanted them to be inclusive. So one of the things that I went and did is that, you know how they play the Battle of the Bridge?
Yep.
This year, there will now be a trophy for the girls in the
Finally.
Battle of the Bridge.
And it finally,
that's what I'm saying.
Took long enough. Who made it happen? Shout out to whoever made it happen, because it should have been happening since it started.
Now, you know I usually don't do this, but I have to pat myself on the back. I did it.
Okay.
And
shout out to you, because
I want to be nice and I want to be understanding to everybody that came before me because they just didn't think about it.
Right. It just wasn't something people probably just thought, like, which is so crazy to say, like, the girls don't need one.
But when I came in with this message, I'm like, yeah, we need everything that you have.
Exactly.
We want everything that you got. And
exactly.
And the thing about it is in the Battle of the Bridge, the girls open up. And this is why I know that they didn't think about it. Catskill had Janae for over 5 years.
Exactly. You would think, maybe with her.
Yeah, you'd be like, please, let us get this trophy because
right.
it's a guaranteed win. And
that's
they never
crazy.
Thought about it. So,
Definitely going to make that game for sure. Or that, is it?
We play them on December the 8th in Catskill this year.
Got it.
And it'll be the first year. And it's just, to me, it's just a great thing because this is something that's going to go on. These girls work harder than you could ever believe. And J-Mac, you understand that.
Yeah.
Last year, we did not have one girl on academic probation.
That's phenomenal.
So that means that these girls were going to school and playing basketball.
Yes.
Last year, we did 5 volunteer activities.
Wow.
5. This year, we started off this year, we went to the Elks Club. Shout out to the Elks Club, everybody there. We helped out with the Veterans Breakfast.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That was
and
dope.
That's something that we're going to do every
dope.
Year. But I mean, these girls are out in the community doing everything they possibly can do to get these people in the stands.
Yeah.
So we just want to say, hey, if the boys are getting a trophy, and we support the boys 100%.
Exactly.
But all I'm saying is support girls. Sure.
As easy as it is for everybody to go to the boys, it's as easy to go to the girls.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. As a linguistics researcher, Ian Chu of South Korea is often asked to travel for research and conferences. But when he learned that taking one flight could cause more carbon pollution than the average citizen of Uganda emits in a year, he was appalled.
That was a big shock for me.
He decided to reduce his air travel. While he was a visiting researcher in the Netherlands, he attended 4 conferences.
For all of those conferences, I took the train.
But he says sometimes flying is the only option, and travel is critical for his research. For example, when he must go where a specific language is spoken. In those situations, he looks for a direct flight. Dan Rutherford of the International Council on Clean Transportation says direct flights tend to emit less carbon pollution, and not only because they often go a shorter distance.
Aircraft tend to burn a disproportionate amount of fuel and therefore emit more CO2 during the landing and takeoff phase of flight.
So Chu says even if he has to pay more to fly direct, it's important to him to make that choice.
So it's like lessening the guilt that is produced by flying this often compared to the average person on Earth.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1947. That was the day that the U.S. House of Representatives found 10 Hollywood writers and directors in contempt for alleged ties to communism. The decision was based on the House Un-American Activity Committee's finding the 10 to be in contempt the week before. More than 40 screenwriters, directors, and producers were brought before the committee to testify about the allegations of rampant communist activities in the movie-making industry. During the Cold War, fear of communism reached a fevered pitch. This included the fear that communists were infiltrating Hollywood to spread their message to the public through the movies. 10 refused to answer the committee's questions or to name names of other potential communists. Each of the 10 was fined $1,000, sentenced to a year in prison, and blacklisted from working in Hollywood. Perhaps the most well-known of the 10 was one of Hollywood's leading screenwriters, Dalton Trumbo. He served 11 months in federal prison for refusing to cooperate. While he was blacklisted, he wrote the screenplay for Roman Holiday, the romantic film starring Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn. Since Trumbo could not take credit for the film, another screenwriter friend put his name on it. Roman Holiday won the 1953 Academy Award for Best Screenplay. 3 years later, another Trumbo script, The Brave One, also received the Academy Award.
Finally, in 1960, Trumbo worked on Stanley Kubrick's acclaimed film Spartacus. Kubrick refused to remove Trumbo from the credits, busting the blacklist. In 2015, actor Bryan Cranston starred in a film about Trumbo's life. During the House Un-American Activities Committee hearings, the Screen Actors Guild passed a resolution that members had to disavow any ties to the Communist Party. They also elected actor Ronald Reagan president of their union. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.